Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society, and welcome back to another edition of the Slow Living Podcast. We are on episode, what number are we on? 237, which is pretty amazing because the fact that I have talked to you each week for 237 weeks in a row is a bit mind-boggling because I had no idea what I was doing when I hit record for the first time in Zoom. But I am thrilled because I have another podcaster on the show today. Amy Nesbitt is the Whole Wellness Mama, and she too lives in the San Francisco Bay Area. And she's a mother of two. She's got two boys, and her podcast is called Whole Wellness Mama. She also is the founder of This Japanese American Life and Amy N. Reads. She focuses on wellness, multicultural family life, food, and more recently, helping mothers set boundaries at work and find joy. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And Amy, thank you again so much for being here with us.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here with you, Stephanie.
Before we hit record, I was listening and learning about a trip you took your family on, and it was a working vacation, but you were sharing that you actually got an awful lot out of it.
Oh, we went down to Mexico to build a house, and this was the first time we did something like this as a family. I think my husband and I have individually done different things throughout our lives, right? But we had always looked for how can we do things with our kids now that they're getting a little bit older. They can absorb more of the how do we give back to other people? How do we think more than ourselves, right? And this was just a great opportunity that came up. And we had actually moved fairly recently out of the Bay Area. And we can talk more about that too in a bit. But this was also a way for us to connect with this new community of people that we have down here in Southern California.
Okay.
And so it was great. It was great to see my kids getting out of their comfort zone, bonding with the other kids, kind of peer pressure to get on the roof and hammer those nails in to build this house. And in 2.5 days, Stephanie, there was a house. And I think I'm still just mind boggled that we did this thing and we were able to bless this other family that did not have a stable home, you know, and for my kids to be able to see that and have joy in being able to be part of this thing and see the confidence come up as they started using power tools that they've never used before, yeah. You know, and I could go on and on, but it was an amazing trip for us.
Yeah. Well, let's unpack that a little bit because you say your boys are older, but am I right that they're 10 and 12?
They're 10 and 12.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sometimes people are like, no, my 10-year-old can't even tie their shoes and cross their cross the street. And it is true. We're definitely coddling children more than we used to. Mm-hmm. But when you give them this opportunity to do something completely different, often they rise to the occasion.
Absolutely. And I am a huge proponent of life skills for kids. And we have talked about this before, but we are raising future adults. We are not raising future forever children. And when we do the things, everything for them, we are not serving them or ourselves, right? And we are in this martyr mode of, oh, I have to do everything for everyone. And that serves no one. We feel resentful. We feel burnt out. And then we are not happy people to be around. And that is not great for anyone, right? And for me, a big thing has been the kitchen. The kitchen has been a place of, I don't know, joy for myself. And as I bring my kids into it, it's been really, really fun to see them gain confidence in that too. And to be able to see them with my mom and learning recipes. And that's really where this Japanese American life kind of morphed into. But it's a huge thing for me, for the kids to be able to make their own foods. And during COVID, this was also huge and a big, I think, push for them to do some of those things because they were in kindergarten and younger, when
Yeah,
COVID
they were
hit.
teeny tiny then, yeah.
Yeah. And my husband and I were working from home. We were blessed enough to have jobs that we could work remotely, but we were doing work from home. We were doing school from home and went, kids, we need you to be able to pack your or like do your own lunch, if we're in meetings or all these things. And they did it. They learned it. They learned how to be safe. And yeah, parents, we
Yeah.
don't need to pack everything. We don't need to do all the things. We can teach them. Yes, it's going to be messy at the beginning. Yes, it's an investment of our time, but I think it comes back way, way fold in how it benefits our children as well as
Yeah.
ourselves.
Yeah. Well, and also the like going back to simpler times and cooking at home and yard work and stuff that many people outsource can be very gratifying. It absolutely can be a hobby. So if you've listened to me, you know that I want you to pick something for your brain and something for your body. But hand working and doing stuff with your hands is so important, and they're great life skills that you'll carry through life. And it tickled me when you told me that you essentially built this house in 2 days. And meanwhile, I have neighbors and people in community all over the place, and they are doing like a bathroom remodel that takes 6 months. And the fact that you built this whole house with your family in a few short days, where lots of us get bogged down of trying to pick the ideal grout color, which in the big scheme of things, it means nothing. Like who cares? Who cares what color your grout is?
Yeah. Okay, granted, it was like 25 of us and people that had done this many, many times over, right? And guiding us every step of the way. And we were just in for the ride. We were the hands, feet, and doing the tasks that needed to be done. And it wasn't this giant house, right? And in Silicon Valley, you see all these giant houses. It is not that, people.
Yeah.
It is a modest home, but it is something that these people never had before. And to see the walls being built and everybody working together to hammer that nail, like everything makes a difference. And my kids have, I mean, we go to those Home Depot once a month, activities, but they are not build your own things kind of people, but they're doing that more so with like the KiwiCo kits as well. There's
Oh,
just all
yes.
these
Yeah.
things that are great for our kids to learn mechanics of things and that make it fun. And I think that's the
Yeah.
big part of it, of doing it together with people, learning on the process. And yeah, I think our church goes every year, so we are in it for the future again. As we were done, the kids were going, can we come next year too? Which is like a
Yeah.
huge thing for me, that even though it was hot and tiring and all the things, they liked it enough to want to do it again.
Absolutely. Okay, so if you're listening and you're wondering what Amy's talking about, once a month, it's usually the first Saturday of the month, Home Depot has these like little builder workshops that you can sign up for or just sort of show up. And sometimes like it's a birdhouse or a planter box or something, and all of the directions are there. It's screen-free, hands-on learning. And then Kiwi and Company, they've since expanded, but it used to just be called Kiwi Crate. I actually was an influencer for them when they first got started, and they sent me a few Kiwi Crate things when my kids were teeny tiny. Now they're ancient. But then actually, it's funny, you reminded me, I got that as a gift for my oldest nephew when he was 4, and now his little brother is 4, and I did not do the same thing, so I should probably do that again. So thank you for the reminder of that. But again, great hands-on learning, screen-free. There are STEM-based kits if you want a more sciencey thing, or there's more like Bob the Builder type kits. But great
Yeah, all
company.
ages.
Yeah, great company. And I believe they are Silicon Valley
Yeah, Bay
esque.
Area based.
Yeah, Bay Area based. Yeah. Okay, so you left the Bay Area to go to LA. And if you're listening, maybe you don't understand the difference that California has with our tribalism. But Northern California and Southern California are way deaf.
So I grew up in San Diego
Okay.
and went up to the Bay Area for school, stayed there for working my career in big tech for almost 20 years. And There were a number of opportunity things, but mostly it was my parents moving. And so they were figuring out what to do with the house. And my husband and I kind of looked at each other. We had been here during COVID for a longer period of time to get help with the kids, and while we worked remotely. And so he liked the area and went, would we move to San Diego and kind of change up this life, even if we couldn't keep our jobs, which we actually are pretty happy, or we're pretty happy with, and we're sad to leave our community, but we went, do we really want to live that Silicon Valley hustle life forever while we grow our kids? And at that point, when we started talking about it, I think they were first, second grade. We kind of hesitated for a few years because it's hard to make that change and make such a big life transition. But my husband is the practical one who said, nothing is irreversible. We can come back if we hate it. It's only like unlikely that we would, but should we do it? And so that's why we made the big jump, and here we are.
Here you are. Well, I love the San Diego area. When Adam and I, we had our 25th and we spent time in Coronado, and I'm like, oh, I get this. I get why I get why people move here.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And we don't regret it. We miss our friends. We miss different aspects. And I think it's always a question of asking myself of, am I living in alignment with what I value, and what our values for our family are. And there's still tweaks to be made because there's still questions in my head of, is this what we moved to San Diego for? Because I took a different full-time job and, all these questions. But it opens up the possibilities for us, and it's a luxury to be able to think and just change life like that. But we are very grateful for
So
what we have been
why
given.
do you think it feels slower paced? Because you're still in California, you still have large freeways and rush hour and all of that kind of stuff. So is it just that the sun is out more and so people are more relaxed?
No, I mean, the Bay Area is also pretty sunny, weather-wise, it's not super different. I think it's definitely work culture is different. I worked at Apple for a long time, and there were, I think, very distinct things that I set for myself, even while working in big tech, where I did question myself of, oh, should I be advancing more? Should I be taking on more things? But throughout my career, I have made the conscious decision, especially after becoming a parent, of having that balance and prioritizing that over, that advancement and moving different places so that I can get that advancement. Sometimes I regret it. It's a working journey of, oh, should I have done that thing? But that time with my family and my friends and all of that is just priceless. You can't go back. And I see people that started at the same place and sacrificed a lot to get to that advancement. And that's not something I want. I think I have to keep reminding myself of why I make the decisions I do. And here, there are still people that want to achieve, that want to advance, but I think there is a slower pace of people knowing that it's okay to end at a certain time and we'll come back to it later. You still get your stuff done if you need to. There's crunch times, but I think there's a lot less expectation of you are always tied to your phone. You are always tied to these things. And I think I still have to bring myself out of it because that has been ingrained in me, of like, okay, I need to check before I go to bed or whatever it might be. So it's always a tweaking of things that you've learned over the course of your career and your life. But I think it is easier for me to get into that groove of, okay, everybody else is okay with setting these boundaries in their work days. I'm going to do that for myself too, like I told myself. And I think there's also less, there's pockets. There's always pockets, right? But I think there is less stress or pressure around me to have my kids in every single activity.
Hey there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and I would like to invite you to check out the website. If you haven't been to stephanieoday.com, go there, click around, read, enjoy. I have spent the last 15 odd years writing articles to help you. Click around, add yourself to the mailing list. Download the freebies. Everything's there. STEPHANIEODEA. slowdance.com. Thanks so much, and back to the show.
And in the Bay Area, I felt like everybody around me had four different sports going, plus Russian math and this and that, right? And I was going, oh my gosh, I have my kid in one thing. Am I not doing enough for my kid? And I don't feel that as much here. Or maybe I've just learned to not care. I don't know.
I agree with you. I've born and raised on the San Francisco Peninsula, so I've been here the whole time. But because my background is child development and child psychology and just watching babies grow, prioritizing family and togetherness is always the forefront. And it's really tricky when you're surrounded by people who have the family, but they don't necessarily prioritize the family unit as a whole. And so they're chasing work accolades and ambition and a certain number in the bank account over family. And I like to say, if we're lucky, life is long, and there's time. Like there's absolutely time to do certain things, but the babies are only babies for this little pocket. So definitely there are gives and takes, and I've seen it on both sides. I've seen people who push, 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 push when their littles are little, and then they quote unquote retire when their kids are in high school and then have all of this time. And then I've seen it backwards, where people have a sabbatical when their kids are like between 6 months and 5 years. I'm just making up numbers. But then they feel this pressure that they have to get back to their earning things. And it's very competitive. And it sort of reminds me of the first time with my oldest, she's now 24, going to a mommy and me club at I want to say it was, we met after story time in the Barnes and Noble. And it was all these women saying, oh, they're not sitting up yet. Oh, well, have you tried this and that? And making it seem like you are a failure because your 4-month-old's core strength isn't where it's at. I'm like, okay, like, trust me, they all end up figuring it out. But it does have this like hyper fixated competitive culture that I'm just not interested in. I just nope out. I'm like, nope, not doing that.
There's totally a Bluey episode about
Oh, is there? Okay, so yeah,
the
so my kids are old enough that I've never actually watched Bluey, although
promo.
my brother and sister-in-law have it for their kids, and then my parents watch their kids as grandparents, and my mom's like, oh, well, Bluey says, and I'm like, oh my gosh, mom, I love that you're quoting Bluey.
I thought it was totally for kids and past my kids' age range, but then I loved it. And then we started watching it together, but we haven't watched it in a while, but it's a very cute, well done for parents and for kids.
Good. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about kind of the quote unquote back to basics and like whole and nurturing and hands-on. How do you compete if you've got 10 and 12-year-old boys who probably are inclined to want all of the newest and the fanciest tech and to be Roblox coding all day long?
Okay, first of all, Roblox is a no-go in our home. My husband is
Oh.
very anti
Okay,
it.
so talk to me about that. Why? Like, why is
So,
he anti?
yes, so he says if anything is going to cost us constantly to get the new thing or to advance or whatever, he is not for that. If it's buy a game and that's that, you work through it, that's fine. We'll buy the game. But if it is a constant asking for upgrades of things, he is not okay with that, and I'm on board with that. I know there's a ton of different modules and things within Roblox, and maybe we haven't even understood what it's all about, but we have put it on the kids and said, you prove to me that it's not going to be this constant drain of cash and addiction to needing the new
Yeah.
thing. And in that case, we will talk, but otherwise, it's off the table.
Yeah. I read an article saying that they're essentially brainwashing kids to be nonstop consumers.
Yeah.
Is that how
And
it comes across to you?
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And we are very much, we have devices, and the kids love playing the Nintendo Switch and different things. And we have online plays so that they can play with their uncle, and all this kind of, or their friends. And we're okay with them playing games. We're okay with them choosing, what to do as long as it's within a safe space, right? But They also know when those screen times are. We have set days, we have set times. We have told them if you can't monitor your own time, like we can hear them, but if you can't set the timer yourself and stop yourself, then you don't have that ability to play, right? And they have to have their homework done. They know what the requirements are for them to even come ask if they can have that screen time that they are allotted, right? That they can start that. So I think we have put fairly good boundaries. It's still always needing tweaking and things, especially as they change ages, but it has worked for us where they come to me and I say, okay, have you done those things? And if it's a yes, then I'll say, okay, go set your timer, go do your thing. Otherwise, they're like, oh no, let me go do it and I'll come back to you. So it's not a fight of needing screen time, and it's they know, they know.
So 10 and 12 are kind of prime, I want a smartphone ages. So what is your thought process on that?
I see the beauty. I worked for the company, you know, and there's a reason why tech giants do not have those devices for their own children. And I go to the schools and I volunteer and I see the kids all with devices. And I know that my kids are going to be the last ones that are going to have these devices. Thankfully, we haven't gotten a huge, oh, why am I the only one that doesn't have a phone or whatnot? They don't even have a watch. You know, we don't have it, and I don't feel the need for it. A few times I've gone, oh, I wish I could text my kid and say, hey, I'm running late, or whatever it might be. But outside of those times, I'm okay with them being present with their friends. I'm okay with them not being on social media. I'm okay with all that because I see it for myself too. I am on my devices way more than I would like to be. And I always have to put additional things for myself of, okay, I'm gonna put it down. I'm going to be present with my children. You know, it's a conscious thing. And the watch is hard because you get pinged with things. So when I do one-on-one times with my kids, I have to put everything off to the side so I can fully be present. And I want them to have that for as long as they can because I know they're going to be bombarded with devices and it's going to come and they're going to have to learn how to be responsible for that. But I'm not ready for that yet. They can be kids for a little while longer.
So, do you have Apple tags on them or anything?
I do not
No.
have anything yet.
No, I brought it up. We have so I work at an elementary school and I'm in their front office, but often I'll get a phone call. And by often I'm like, maybe once every 8 weeks or so, I'll get a panicked phone call saying that they can't find so and so because their Apple tags stopped communicating. So, can you please go make sure they're not kidnapped? I'm like, okay, hang on. So I trot down the hall. I'm like, nope, so and so is in kindergarten. You're fine.
Yeah.
And the Apple tag just stopped communicating. And I guess I'm glad that those devices didn't exist when my kids were teeny tiny. Because I mean, I was. And still am an anxious person, and I don't like being out of control. And I guess that little bit of control makes people feel comfortable.
I've
But
also
yeah.
had conversations with parents of grown adults, right? They're in college and whatnot, and they have the Find My. So they can see where their kids are. Part of it is a safety thing. Part of it is just now you're being nosy, right? And some of the things I don't want to know, and some of the things I did, I was responsible, but I wouldn't tell my parents, you know? And it's a hard line now that we have these abilities of how much do we want to watch. And I think, you know, there's a dynamic also. I was listening to like the husband say, just turn it off. Just turn it off. You cannot watch our children. You can't, you know. So.
So full disclosure, we totally have it. So I do not pay for Life 360 because I feel like it's against my religion to pay for subscriptions. But a friend of mine does, and so she can tell how fast her boys are driving and that kind of thing, and that's interesting. I guess also in Teslas, you can through the Tesla app, you can make it not go faster than a certain point. So
Oh,
a
interesting.
coworker made it so her husband couldn't drive over 75, and I thought that was fascinating. I'm like, that's really interesting. But anyway, but back to find my phone or find my friend. I do have it turned on. I have it turned on for my husband and the kids, and then also my parents. So I like knowing where my parents are also. for the kids when they were in college, mostly we used it so we wouldn't accidentally text them when they were in class. I'm like, oh, wait, hang on, they're in so-and-so hall. I'm not going to text them. Yeah, I don't feel like I use it in an obsessive capacity. I like knowing if Adam has left work because then I can get dinner going, or if I know that he's on the bridge, he won't get cell service and that kind of stuff. So I can see how it could be overused. One thing that's fascinating with my Gen Z kids is they track all their friends. So it really is a friend thing. And be like, and we'll be at the mall and be like, oh, so and so is here. And then they'll zoom in and then they go like surprise them at the tea place or
Oh,
something. But
that's
yeah,
so
Gen
interesting.
Z has, yeah, my one of my daughters, and she opens it, I'm like, who are all these people? She's like, oh, that's what just what we do, Mom. So I'm like, okay.
And all this to say, right? And I have find my on my husband and my parents as well. But I think you nailed it. It's the obsessive part, right? If we're using it, I check my husband too. If he's coming back from a flight, like, oh, is he almost here? You know, the kids are going to bed. Should we wait up for them? Like, things to make sure people are safe for, you know, planning purposes. But I think when it becomes that obsessive, okay, you don't really need to know this. Now you just want to know. Now you're getting in people's business. That's definitely where the lie starts.
Well, so, but that can be said for any sort of tracking thing. So like for Instagram, I have Instagram for work. If I didn't have the podcast and didn't have books that my publishers say I need to sell, I would not have it. I would absolutely be a ghost online. And that's probably, again, why I often say that I suck at marketing. I don't like it. Like I it feels unhealthy. So when I log in and I see friends who hung out last weekend and I wasn't invited, and then I think, oh, that's probably because they're drinking a whole bunch of shot stuff and you don't like to do that. So they're like, yeah, well, so it makes sense intellectually, but on
Doesn't feel
like
good.
a personal, you feel left out. And so one, I don't want my kids to feel that way because life is tough as it is. But for me, I can already tell as a full-fledged grown-up, I feel left out. It would be better for me to just not have the stuff and not do it. And as much as it can be helpful in certain ways, like you and I would not have met if there was no internet. Yet you and I met what I consider an old-fashioned way is we emailed each other. Like I would always rather answer an email than a direct message or something from social media. So I feel like if you take the time to track down somebody's email address and compose an actual email, I will read it. Whereas I don't know, the poking part of social media is not for me, and it probably was not designed for me. You would know.
Well, I would agree with you that I probably would not have the social media that I have if it weren't for just starting a YouTube channel in COVID and being like, okay, I guess I should talk about this somewhere else so people can find it. That's kind of how it started. And then it morphed into, oh, well, I love talking about books. I want to share about the books that I love. That turned into another YouTube channel. And then I had all these conversations with moms about how do you do all the things like YouTube and the outside stuff while you have a full-time job and kids. And that's where I went, I really want to help moms thrive instead of just surviving this life, especially working moms that are struggling like I did. And so that's where Whole Wellness Mamas came to be. And so it was a morphing of things. And as I've said throughout, it's a tweaking, right? Of figuring out, okay, what is the right things? What do I need to say no to? Because I can't say yes to everything. But I still spend more time on social media than I would like, and I find myself being caught up in it and doing the whole scrolling thing and losing time towards things that I wish I would have done instead. And I don't want that for my kids. And I think we would agree that social media and technology and all these things need to be a tool that we use for whatever our purpose is, and not that it's using us for all of the ways that they want to. And that is something that I want to tell my kids to use it as a tool. There are great things about it. Let's use it as that and not let it consume us.
Okay. So if you're looking at it as a tool, and since you're using it for quote unquote work or as a way to like monetize a hobby or something like that. It makes sense for like the quote unquote regular human who is just logging on as a way to update friends and family and that kind of stuff, and they're not trying to promote. So I mean, you worked for big tech. Is the idea to have it just constantly never ending and hook people to keep scrolling? And if you're not on there for any other purpose except for to fill up 10 minutes while you're at the doctor's office waiting room and that kind of stuff, like how do quote unquote normal people put on parameters? And I get it that I'm not making sense. I apologize.
And I will caveat with I haven't worked for the media side of things. I haven't worked for
Okay.
Meta or for Google or anything, right? And so I don't know the ins and outs, but there are many documentaries, right? And
Yeah.
things that it is there to keep your attention. It is meant for you to keep coming back for the likes or for feeling like there's that boost, right?
Yeah,
That
dopamine.
comes,
Yeah.
that hit. Yeah. That comes when you see something that you like, but there's also the big downside to not being included. Like you mentioned, you have major FOMO, or you see other people hanging out, or you feel like everybody else is living a better life. And I have felt that for myself on all the different things. So I'm very conscious of that. And like I said, there are great things about it. And I think it started, well, obviously, it's very successful because there is a need, right? People want to feel connected, like they're part of a community, like they're able to share things with people and get excited about things that are joys in their lives and also have support for the things that are hard and feel like they're not alone. And I think there's really, really great things, but know that it is meant to recommend things that you would like. And there's algorithms for a reason, right? It is still a business. They want you to keep coming back for the time and for they pay people for a reason, right? There's ad money, there's all kinds of stuff. So yes, it is a business. It is meant to bring you back over and over and want them or want you on their platform versus all the other platforms that are out there.
Yeah.
I
So
don't know if that
since
answered your
you've
question.
no, it's fast. It's interesting. So since you're raising these boys and you've now left Silicon Valley, do you have any hopes or aspirations that you would like for them to chase as they age or what they might major in college? Would you steer them away from big tech?
I mean, I had a great experience. All with all that said, right? I think there are really great things being done, and I love my devices. And right now at my job, I don't get to use a Mac, and it pains me. It pains me dearly. There are things that I
Oh, okay, so
absolutely
let's talk about this. So I'm sitting in our own home office and with I have four computers. So I'm on a Mac right now because it's easier to record on, but then my day-to-day computer is a PC and my brain can just fluidly go back and forth right now. Can yours?
It is still hard. Like, I have learned the different shortcuts and things, but after working like 20 years, that was my first job, right? And that was where I learned all my career stuff, and that I used a Mac, obviously, and I used an
Okay.
iPhone, and I used all the things. And so it is hard to switch from that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
And learn
I
everything
mean, this is a
Microsoft.
really old MacBook Air I'm using, but the trackpad, like, it drives me nuts that there's no buttons and I can't right click. I'm like, oh my God, I freaking hate this. And so then I have to like put everything in the drive and then go back to like my regular computer where I'm at peace.
And I used Excel because I'm a finance person. That is my background. So I used Excel on my Mac,
Okay.
but everything else I'd use like Keynote and, all the different programs. And so I'm going to all the Microsoft things and going Teams. Okay, let me figure out Teams. Like, let me figure out this calendar, Outlook, like all the things. And I know it sounds silly. It makes me sound like I'm super old because I'm that person. I've always been like, oh, parents, you can't figure out this thing. Now that's me.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
me.
So I still have my iPhone is still one of the old iPhones that has the button. Because the new ones that have no button, I'm like, well, there's no freaking button. So I would just hand it off to the kid, like, open this for me. And Adam's like, so at some point, because you only have my camera of the phone, this I'm going on, it only has the one hole for the one lens because my phone is that old. Everyone else's is three. And I'm like, how'd you do that with your camera? And he's like, because we have a much newer phone, Steph. You're gonna have to get over the no button thing. But I like my button.
I understand. I am a frugal person, so I think if I hadn't had the like discount that I had over the course of the years, and because I take photos, videos, etc. for my YouTube channel on my phone a lot, I have upgraded my phone. It's still a 13, so it's not the new thing, but I'm also probably the later adopter within all these, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with
Yeah.
that.
Yeah. Okay, so talk to me about starting the channel and your online presence. Did you have kind of this like before and after? Do you feel like you retired from tech and then stepped into this other world, or was it seamless? A lot of
No.
crossover?
So, okay. If I go back to the beginning of the YouTube channel, I started during COVID. It was my
Okay.
COVID baby. Call me crazy for doing something like that when we were working from home and navigating this pandemic and schooling from home and all that jazz, but it was my creative outlet. During the day, I'm doing spreadsheets and analysis and all that. And this was a fun way for me to also say, let's capture our joys as a family instead of focusing on the crappy things that are going on right now in the world and all the people that we don't get to see. So initially it was called Flashes of Joy. And then over time, as I was talking to people kept asking me about, oh, how do you make that Japanese recipe? Or I'm going to Japan. Can you tell me some tips of where we should go? And so I went, oh, well, that combined with I would like my kids are half Japanese. And so I was like, I want them to have that Japanese side. Like as they carry on, because it's definitely less exposure that they get to that side versus, the rest of American culture. So
Yeah.
this was a great way for me to put that in. So that's where this Japanese American life is, that's what it morphed into. And we talk about all things Japanese food, travel, culture. And I just started a stress-free Japanese course too, because people kept asking, like, okay,
Yeah.
how do we make these things? And so I went, okay, I'm going back to the basics. So I'm really excited about that. But that was the YouTube channel, and the kids got involved with me. We were, like I said, it started just capturing our joys. It was simple things. I had gone into it with it's just going to be for us or maybe the grandparents because we're not seeing them as regularly as we have. And so it's a way for them to keep up with like the random daily fun things that we were doing. I had no intentions for it to be the thing that it has become, but I am grateful for the people that have supported me and that have said, yeah, this is really cool. Can you keep doing more of these things and have guided where it has come? And I think my love for books has always been there. And it just became front and center, especially as my kids are, we're just a family of book lovers of all genres. And so during COVID, I needed a place to be like, oh, I don't have a book club in real life. Let me talk about it online with people. And we wanted to separate it from this Japanese American life. And so that's why I have the two channels. But alas, those are those two. And then I mentioned this before, but as I was talking to other moms, fellow moms that I worked with, we were all going, okay, how do we make time for ourselves? How do we find that wholeness that we really want and deserve, with carrying all the other things, because we just show up better when we take care of ourselves. And so that's where my passion for Whole Wellness Mama is. And I do summits to bring different experts within the wellness space, because it's not just about the physical wellness, it's the mental, it's the spiritual, it's the, emotional, all of that. And so that in a nutshell is where
Yeah.
it morphed into.
Yeah. We will absolutely link to everything. But if you're looking for Amy, you can Google her at Amy Nesbitt, and Nesbitt is two T's, Nesbitt, but you come up immediately through Google and you can find all of your different things. It's really interesting. I'm really glad that you shared as much as you did. So where do you see yourself in 5 years when your oldest is off to college and your youngest is getting there already? Like where do you see yourself in that frame of mind?
So it's funny because when we moved down here, it was that scary, okay, I'm leaving a job that I love, people that I loved working with, and there were lots of tears of like, is this really the right decision? But it was also freeing to think, okay, if we move, we are moving towards a life that potentially we are able to have more options of if one of us did not want to work, that's a lot more doable. All of that. And I started going, well, if my husband is working remote, maybe I can do all this stuff that I've been doing part-time, full-time. And clearly I am not doing that because a different opportunity came up, and that's a whole different story. But I still long for that. Okay, what would happen if I could put more time into this? And I would love to travel. I love travel. I love food. I love books. And if I could get paid for those things or make enough to, sustain us or whatnot, however we want to put that, that would be my dream at this point, And we will see. It is a hard balance between the known and the stable of a corporate life and being able to just branch out on your own and do this creator journey. But I'm also very fortunate to be with a supportive partner that's like, okay, if you want to go do this thing, nothing is irreversible. If you want to find a job down the future, you can, and I'm also in a job that I'm pretty happy with, that gives me that flexibility right now too. So everything can be assessed, but if at any point it is not aligned with the time that I want to spend with my children and my family and the things that I love doing, then that is the point where I go, this is not working out. Let me go figure out what changes I need to make. But when I have kids, oh, I don't even want to think. Well, not that I don't want to think, but I don't know. I would love to travel more. I would love to see different places that we haven't been able to go. And a lot of times we've gone to the same places. Like I want to go with my kids to Japan every 2 years, every 1.5,
Do you
whatever it
have
might be.
family still
I
in
do. I
Japan?
still have
Okay.
extended family there. So my kids have been a few times. But I have said also, I want to go more because their language is just leaps and bounds after our trip there. And I think they see the benefit. So going to Japanese school is not a struggle where I'm like, okay, you guys go because mom tells you to. They see the benefit and why I want them to. And we've had many tearful conversations about why it's so important to me, even though it is hard for them. And that is one thing I think extracurricular that I have not been willing to give up. But I would love to travel more. But I would also love to travel now. I don't want to think about it in a once the kids are out of the house kind of thing because I do love traveling with them. I want them to see different cultures, different communities, the way different people live. That is a huge value of mine that you live outside of yourself, right? And you see, not that you don't see different ways people live here, but that is a huge thing I want to do. And their experiences I want them to have and take with them. But I also want my kids to be independent human beings that can have their own life. And I want to enjoy my life with my husband. I don't want it to be surrounded by just kid logistic things, and
No,
all kinds of different
I
things.
think that makes a lot of sense, and it definitely ties into whole and slow and just kind of being contemplative. Because if you're just checking things off of a bucket list, like saw that, saw that, saw that, saw that, it doesn't feel immersive, and it doesn't feel calm. It feels like you're still in hustle mode, checking things off your list. And again, when you zoom out and you talk about different experiences, and we can go full circle, that you guys essentially with this team of people built a house in 2 days, whereas literally people can spend 2 days walking up and down the aisles of a store picking out grout, which really doesn't make sense. But having these different life experiences and seeing different cultures and seeing how people live is in such a valuable experience, because if you don't zoom out, you really can get stuck in thinking that the purpose in life is to get the newest model electric car.
And even in work life, right? I've seen people very cutthroat and out for themselves and do whatever it takes. And that's just never been me. And that's not something I want to work around. And I don't want my kids to be those people, you know? I want them to be successful and whatever that means for people. I want them to be independent, be able to, you know, make their own way and feel comfortable, but not at the price of other people, you know? It's, I just want them to be good human beings at the end of the day. I think that is huge. It's their identity shouldn't be in what their job is and all that. I need compassionate human beings. And yeah, that's.
Yeah, hard agree. Hard agree. Amy, thank you so much. Thank you for spending time with me. Is there anything you want to say before we log off for today?
I mean, for anybody that is listening, then they're doing something great, right? You are doing something great. You are taking time for yourself. And I think there are so many moms and so many parents out there that feel bad taking time for themselves, but we need to improve ourselves every single day too. And I think it's great for our kids to see that we are taking time for ourselves, that we know we're not perfect and trying to improve. So doing that, I'm so grateful that you're here. I'm so grateful that I'm able to have this conversation with you, Stephanie. And parents, you're doing great. I'm rooting for you.
Absolutely. Good job, Slow Down Society. As always, consider yourself loved and hugged. I think you're wonderful. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.